This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by Clark's Pump and Shop, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Edwin Watts Golf, and Georgetown Advantage Air. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Welcome to Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300-92.5. You know why this is a good day? Because it's one day closer to the Open Championship. I mean, we're all golf fans, but I'm sorry. If you're watching the John Deere Classic, I don't know what to say. I do turn on Golf Channel, and I'll watch the highlights, and that's great. But I most weeks I don't care anyway, but especially not the week before Open Week, because that's really what I care about. Normally at this time I say good morning, Chris Mascaro from Next on the Tee, but boy, do I have a surprise. I'm actually going to talk to Chris Mascaro without just saying that in a little bit later in the show. Of course, Matt McCrady from Man of War Golf will join me, and something really interesting that he's working on with a couple of mini tour players that have to do with club fitting and lie angles. And it's really interesting stuff. We'll talk to him. But first up, this guy is fantastic. Dave Shedlosky will join me, a wonderful, wonderful writer. He's going to join me, and we'll get rolling. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. Or not talk about the match, the Olympics, the Open, all kinds of things. So I don't know about you peeps, but I'm ready. All right, here we go. Joining me now, one of my favorite peeps, and it's been a little while since we spoke to him, the great Dave Shedlosky from Golf Digest joining me now. Hello, pal.
How you doing, Matthew?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Hey, we got no complaints. There's golf going on. You know, the shutdowns are stopping. I mean, sports is happening. I got Wimbledon on. God, life is good again.
Yeah, there we go. We got a lot actually going on.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do, even though with this is Backspin Golf. Are you a football, parentheses, soccer, parentheses, fan?
I am. I played high school and college.
Whoa. So
back in the day, I was an actual athlete.
Wow.
And
and ran, that wasn't that long ago.
No.
Anyway.
No. Only 30 plus years.
Yeah. Okay. so you're watching, I would assume you're watching the Euro championships too.
I have been, yes.
Oh, good. Okay. That's all. This is a golf show, but
we're flipping on, between golf, I'm flipping on Wimbledon, I'm flipping on the football. I mean, it's great. The thing I don't watch anymore is baseball. I don't really watch much.
Yeah, well, we're the red station. Now, I know you're in Columbus, Ohio, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so we're the official red station here. So we do a lot of Reds baseball. And I'm a Yankee fan, so I'm not doing hardly any because they suck. And
you poor man, the Reds too. I mean,
But they're now calm down. They're okay.
They're
going to be okay. Yeah, we just don't know from day to day whether they're going to be okay. We go to sleep and they're in Seattle, and we wake up and they were ahead by four and lose. So we're dealing with them day to day.
Hey, they no hit the Indians, my Indians, earlier this year. And we still got to survive another 100 or so games to not be the first team in MLB history to have three no hitters thrown at them.
They can do
more
it.
Games.
They can do it. I have faith in them.
There you
All
go.
All right, let's go. Here we go with some golf talk. First thing I want to talk to you about, because whether I agree, well, I shouldn't say that. I always agree with your opinions, because we really think along the same line. So I kind of, even though we haven't talked about this, I kind of have a feeling I know where you're going to go. I want to ask you about, I even hate saying it, the match four. I just want to get your thoughts on it. And then if I'm not grunting and throwing up while we're talking, I'll give you my opinion.
Well, the first thing I would say about the match is someone ought to maybe light one to it. And then,
go from there.
Although I have to say there are times I'm kind of intrigued by what might occur, but you know, when they sit there and they say with a straight face, this dream foursome getting together. And I say, that's it. I'm out. Cause whose dream? I don't want to be a part of that dream.
Almost instantly you get out when they say that.
Here's the thing that I told one of my colleagues, the great Doug Ferguson, great writer for the Associated Press. When you have two professionals like Phil and Bryson, who had just spent the last few days, at least in Phil's case, 4 days, and Bryson two, really being a couple of pains in the ass at the Rocket Mortgage, especially Bryson, not even speaking at all after 2 days at an event at which he is a Rocket Mortgage ambassador. And defending champion. And then you're going to turn around and you're going to ask me or anybody else to say, oh, it'll be great to hear all the things that they have to say and the hit and giggle aspect and these kinds of things. It's like, no, you can't sell that to me. You can't. There's no way I'm buying it, no matter what the price is. I'm not buying it.
Yeah. Well, I turned it on, even though I swore I wouldn't, because as I said, I haven't spoken to you in a while, but you didn't know the rules, so I can't hold you accountable. His name is not allowed to be mentioned on my
show.
That's
right, the Bryson rule. I apologize. That's right. Actually, I remember that rule now. Yes,
Briceps or the bulk. Those terms are acceptable.
The incredible bulk, yep.
Everybody knows, I can't stand the guy. And I love Aaron Rodgers. And the little bits and pieces I saw, he was great.
Yes, he was.
He was great. He not only he played pretty well, he putted out of this world, but he's funny. He's subdued. He's all those things we love about Aaron Rodgers. Phil, great. Tom, you know, bomb tradie, as we call him, whatever. But the bulk, it even started out, I finally decided, I do a golf show, I have to watch this. And I turned it on, and on the very first hole, before a shot is hit, he walks up with that roll of duct tape and throws it to Bomb Trady. And it was I was an actor for a long time. It was the worst acting I've ever seen. I mean, it was set. He was like a third grade setup. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. And I went, this is a joke. Now, I will say, I really want to play golf in Montana. Now, that's the one thing. That golf course is just spectacular.
Phenomenal, phenomenal views. Cool Jack Nicklaus golf course. And you know what? When they did the one club thing, that was the one hole I genuinely had an interest in. Other than that, no, not so much.
Not so much.
And I love Phil. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Phil fan. I mean, I should say I love him, but I've enjoyed his showmanship, his shot making, how he keeps reinventing his game to where, you know, look, he won a PGA championship with the dang thing at 50, almost 51 years old. But even his shtick gets old in that match now.
Yeah, it does. They should totally. Here's what they should do if they want to do it. My good friend, Keith Hirschland, came up with several great ideas about this. I said, if they want to do it with two PGA pros, Phil or any two other than you know who and the cheater, as I call him, have Justin Thomas do it and Ian Poulter do it, but do it either with two LPGA pros like Danielle Kang and you know, anybody, there's so many great LPGA players now who are really personable. That would be great. Have it with two amateurs and two, there's a lot of ways you could do it, but this has to be blown up. it absolutely has to be blown up.
Yeah. Or include Barkley in it, because Barkley's just a gem.
Yeah, well, he can, but not playing anymore. We already saw him do that once. And although, have you seen him recently? He's actually got a golf swing.
He's betting big on the I can finish in the top 70 in that American Century event this weekend. And I said, shit, might.
He might. We're talking with Dave Shedlowski of Golf Digest. Okay, so that's that. I want to move on now to the Olympics and get your thoughts on what's going to happen there. Who do you agree with? Do you agree with the guys that don't care about playing for your country and winning a gold medal, or the guys that say representing my country would be the greatest thing in the world?
Those are my only two choices.
You pick whatever you want.
I see where Dustin Johnson and some of these guys come from. I mean, did they grow up dreaming of a gold medal? No, they dreamed of a green jacket or winning the U.S. Open. And so it's kind of hard to, you know, if you're one of those guys who's not going like an Adam Scott or DJ or some others to say, I really want to play for first, second, or third. And that's all there is. And the only good news is that it's after all the majors. So, you know, you're not really sacrificing much.
Right.
Some guys still think you are because of all the money involved in the FedEx Cup and so forth. But look, I applaud those that want to go try, and maybe winning a gold medal is something they really aspire to do and be a part of the Olympic experience. I think that's the part that I would understand, is being a part of the Olympic experience. However, in Japan,
yes,
you don't get to be part of the Olympic experience this time because of COVID restrictions still. So you're just kind of going, you're in a hotel, you're not in the Olympic Village.
Right.
What's the attraction? I got to say that if I'm Dustin Johnson or somebody, I get it. Why go?
Right. And I agree with that 100%. Although we do know that it meant a lot to Justin Rose to win that Olympic gold last year. So some guys, as you say, do feel that way and others don't.
Other than Justin Rose, I mean, Matt Kuchar won the bronze. I think Henrik Stenson won the silver.
Yeah.
Do they talk about that? No, it's one guy that's going to walk away and go,
Right.
You know, at least if you're a PGA Tour event and you finish in the top 10, hey, I got FedEx Cup points and 100 grand. And you know what? This is a pretty good life.
Yeah. Or 400 grand.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Right. All right. In the few minutes we have left, I want to get your thoughts on the Open. Obviously, coming up this week will be the Open Championship. And again,
That would be at Royal St. God Awful.
Yes.
Royal St. George's, correct. Excuse me.
Yeah. And I feel the same way about that golf course, too, compared to all the other ones we have to play on.
Right.
This, too, obviously is COVID affected. Now, the RNA, as well as, say, the Olympics, or a lot of times the PGA, and we have a lot of stuff to discuss about the PGA, but the RNA, this Open Championship is going to be, but I don't even know what it's going to be because of COVID still. They're allowing fans. Give me your thoughts on what's going to happen at the Open.
Well, they're allowing up to 32,000 fans, and yet they're telling the players that you can only stay in these hotels or in four-man dwellings. You can't have more than that. I mean, these are, you know, private citizens essentially, and you're telling them who they can and can't stay with, and they're restricting a lot of movements and so forth. And Alex Chayka at the U.S. Senior Open kind of gave a rundown of what he dealt with in Germany, where they couldn't even stop at a gas station for a pack of gum, as he said.
Right.
And his fans can do whatever they want. Right. So, I mean, you know, we talked about it. We mentioned right before we came on here about Kevin Na not wanting to go because of travel restrictions. Look, some guys are just going to say, you know what? I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need to be there and deal with that. And I think what's going to happen is that we're going to see some players who haven't bought into being there. I think it's just going to depend. How do you open those first two rounds and you go, okay, I'm in the hunt. I'm playing for the Claire Chug. I'm good. And if you're not, and they're dealing with all these things, I think they're going to lose interest real fast. And we're going to see a real disparity in terms of what that, what the competition is going to be like.
Yeah. It's all of this, you know, with the, we're watching, we were talking at the top of this segment about, you know, all the other sports, and it's great because we can watch Wimbledon, we can watch this, we can watch, but it's so different in every single event because of how COVID is being handled, how many fans are allowed in, who's wearing masks and who isn't wearing masks. I'm watching the NBA finals. The coaching staff, for example, is all wearing masks still, but nobody in the arena is wearing masks. It's awful confusing. And that's not the end of the world, but it is really confusing.
Well, it seems like it's for show, and you see that with other things that happen where, you know, there's people wearing masks or not, and it's like, look, we can debate the, you know, the political or health aspects
right.
of masks, but at the end of the day, they seem to have determined that, you know, we're at a point where they're not that important. So what are you trying to stop when you're in an arena full of fans that aren't wearing masks, like you said,
right.
or at
right.
the Open Championship where there's 32,000 patrons, no mask, or maybe they're going to have masks, but they don't have the same protocols that the players do, who probably more often than in a larger percentage have been vaccinated because they're
right.
coming from the United States where our vaccination rate is more successful.
Right.
So I don't get what the RNA is doing. They're doing the same thing at Sunningdale for the Senior British Open, and you're going to see more senior players decide to not go over there than you will for this Open Championship. It's just kind of like jumping through hoops you don't need to jump through at this point.
Right. I think there are going to be an awful lot of, and it could be great, club pros at the Senior British Open.
Right.
Like a lot of guys from around there are going to be in the field because you're going to see a lot of Champions Tour guys and people on those tours not show up there.
Yeah.
All right. I can't thank you enough. It's great to talk to you again. And are you getting to go to any events?
I'm going to a few. Yeah. Just was at Rocket Mortgage last week up in Detroit and looking
great
forward to the Solheim Cup.
From there. I read you the whole time. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. We're heading to the Solheim Cup, the Ryder Cup. We've got a few things on the burner coming up here, and we're excited.
Good.
About it.
Good. All right. Well,
let's talk again soon.
Stay safe. We will. I promise.
Well,
thanks a million,
safe.
Man.
You okay. Stay safe too, Matthew. Great talking to you.
You too, Dave. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back. Backspin Golf, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5. Now, this is really great. Really great. All of you that listen, and we have so many people, loyal listeners, every Sunday morning at 8:03, know or have heard me say pretty much every week. I missed a week here or there, but pretty much every week. Good morning, Chris Mascaro. Next on the tee, best golf podcast there is. And I decided it's time for me to do kind of a next on the tee and ask Chris Mascaro some questions. And so he's joining us now. And when I say good morning, I'm actually talking. This is incredible. I'm talking to Chris Mascaro. Good morning, Chris Mascaro.
Good morning, Matthew Lawrence. How are you, my friend?
Oh, my Lord. This is so great. Hey, Sean, isn't this great? It is. I know you think that too, because Sean hears me say good morning, Chris Mascaro, every week, and you're not there. And now you're here. It's
here
great. Here you are. First of all, I believe that next on the tee, which I do talk about every week and other times, is now number 16 for the month of July in the top, 50 podcasts? Is that what I saw?
That is exactly what you saw. So my thanks to you and all of our friends and listeners. Yeah, we sort of slowly climbed up the chart in the podcast magazine Hot 50 list over the last 4 months. I think we started out around 44 and got to 39 and then 31. And this month we're up to number 16. So I'm humbled beyond belief.
Well, because I'm so good at this stuff, here's what I'll tell you. That means you're trending upward. I don't know if you how much of social media you know. You I swear, you are, I'll just start by saying this. You are the most supportive person, maybe of any person on Twitter, to everybody that has appeared, we don't appear, who has come on your podcast, Next on the Tee, or Thursday Night Tailgate, or you start every Sunday morning by talking about Backspin Golf and how at 8, you're waiting for your 8:03 tee time so you can listen to Backspin Golf. Have you always been this kind of guy? Like when you were growing up, I know we have other topics to talk about, but this is the kind of thing that interests me. So you all day Sunday follow these great people and you put lists up and the names on are incredible. Were you always like this? Like when you were in, I don't know, sixth grade, were you always that positive kid being supportive of other kids? Or were you like all the rest of us who like, you know, threw paper airplanes at somebody's head? Were you always this kid?
I want to say I was. I mean, you know, my parents raised me, you know, sort of this way. And then I think one of the important things that I learned early on, just like, you know, you and Mitch, I'm sure, you know, played every different sport growing up. And, yes. And I did, you know, I played every different sport as well. And I just always be a good teammate, right? I just always sort of wanted to be a good teammate and sort of pick everybody up. I was the foolish kid on the basketball team when we were down 20 at halftime that said, well, they did it to us in the first half, we can do it to them in the second half. Right? I was that kid.
Okay.
So I guess the answer to your question is yes. I think I've always been this way.
Okay. Well, that's great. And halftime, if you had said that to me, I would have said, shut up, Chris. We suck or something like that. No, because it's very obvious that that's the human being that you are. And that's why Next on the Tee is so great. And Thursday Night Tailgate, because you can't fake that. As I said, you're the most positive person I think I know. And that's really something. All right. Enough of this crap. I'm done. I mean, enough of this stuff. We have golf to talk about because Backspin is, as you know, a show about golf. So you're the best interviewer I know. Again, this is just coming into my head. So before we get to actual topics, you are the most prepared of anybody that I know, not only about golf, but everything that you do on these podcasts. You're incredibly prepared. Sean, listen to what I'm going to say. And I know Sean's shaking his head. You book your show Next on the Tee like a year before the actual show. I mean, it's unbelievable. And Sean knows that I do the same thing, except instead of a year, I'll do it 2 days before. That's my preparation. But the amount of research you do is frankly astounding to me. I mean, has anybody ever said that to you before?
Yeah, I've been fortunate to have some folks say something along those lines, which I'm very appreciative of. But I mean, look, I know from the get-go of doing these shows and Thursday Night Tailgate, we're about to celebrate our 10-year anniversary in September.
Wow.
And I've been doing Next on the Tee now. This is our eighth season. But
wow.
I know early on that nobody is tuning in to hear what Chris Mascaro thinks about anything. And you guys are all the stars of the show. I'm just along for the ride. But I feel like I owe it to you because to do all the research that I do, because you're kind enough to give your time, which is precious to you, and you could be doing a million other things, to come on the show. And if I'm not prepared by knowing your background and knowing the subject matter that we're going to talk about, then I feel like I've done a disservice to you, And why would you come back on? You know, I'm blessed to have people like you and Mitch and the other guests that come on the show, you know, 7, 8, 10, 15, 20 times. Why would anyone want to ever come back a second time if I wasn't prepared to talk about your career or prepared to talk about the subject matter? So I spend the time to do that.
Oh, boy. Sean, I can't believe you suggested that we have Chris Mascaro on Backspin, because this is everything that I don't do. Now I'm screwed. I'm totally screwed, because I think Backspin is all about hearing my opinions with guests. So now I got to rethink the whole thing, Sean. 6 years of doing this and I got to rethink it. Great. Okay. All right. Let's talk a little golf. Okay. And I want to start with the match. I've been talking a lot about it, and I'm sorry, I can't help voice my opinion, because even though Next on the Tee is your show, Backspin is my show. And I'm so, what's the word I'm looking for? Arrogant, that I think everybody wants to know what I think about the match. So it made me throw up the 5 minutes that I watched it. That's my opinion on the match. What about you? Was it much watch TV for you?
No. No, not at all. I mean, look, I appreciate what the match does sort of off the course. That, you know, charity is the big winner. I think right. The last numbers I saw was over $6 million raised for the match this week. So that, I think, is a wonderful thing. Kudos to them. Yes. Outside of that, I compelled to watch? No, I don't find these matches compelling. I mean, I may be the old guy, you know, yelling at the kids to get off his lawn. I mean, I love
No,
the
skins. I am.
I love the skins game back in the day, Matthew. I mean, yeah. I loved, you know, the getting Jack and Arnold and Gary Player and Lee Trevino and all those guys together. I love that stuff. I wish they'd do something along those lines. But yeah, no, I didn't find myself going, oh, hey, the match started. I got to go turn it on because I'm missing this. I mean, there were some good things that happened. I mean, we learned, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, the guy is just as clutch in golf as he is in football. And
yeah,
and
he can putt too.
Yeah, the guy can putt. Holy cow. I mean, that was amazing. And, you know, I loved watching Tom Brady sort of one up biceps, you know, by driving the 392 yard par 4, you know, hitting it even closer than biceps did. I enjoyed that. And, you know, the idea that they had the format on the 14th hole where you got to pick one club and you had to play in from there. So I thought that was kind of a nice idea. But, and, you know, and Rodgers was funny, you know, with the Kevin Na sort of impersonation, right?
He
made that putt on, you know, on 12 and kind of walked in, ran to get it out of the car. That was kind of funny. But to think that, you know, ooh, you know, hey, it was Thursday night. I got to get, you know, whatever night it was this week. I got to get home to turn that on, and I can't miss it. Everyone be quiet. I'm watching the match. No.
Right. No, okay, good. I'm ready. You know, you mentioned the skins game, and I also love the skins game, but I've been talking to a lot of people about this fiasco that I thought the match was the 5 minutes I watched it. And there have been some very interesting ideas. One, our great friend, mutual friend, Keith Hirschland, said he had a few different ideas about pairings of people they could do it with. But I love the idea of recreating Shell's Wonderful World of Golf, which I loved even more than the skins game, and just have matches between from exotic locales, if you want to, between two PGA pros and two LPGA pros as teams or something like that. This idea that they have of what they did this time should have ended after the second one, I think. And basically, no Tiger, I'm not watching. That's how I feel.
I think that's the way a lot of people feel. If Tiger's not involved in anything, they're not watching. But no, I love that idea, and I certainly listened to Keith talk about that. I'd love to see the LPGA stars paired with the PGA stars. I'd like
absolutely
to see the Champions Tour guys get involved. Heck, I'd even like the LPGA Legends folks to get involved. Let's get, you know, all the great names that we're know, and the top players of the world. Yeah, absolutely. Let's get them out to places like Old Head and some of the great courses around our country and around the world. I'd love that. I'm in.
I think it's great. All right. Now, I want to talk to you about the Open, which is coming up this week. All week is the Open Championship. But I just want to get your feelings on what the RNA has done, who I think acted pretty much in the same way Rob Manfred acts with Major League Baseball. And that's, I have no idea what they're doing when they're allowing 32,000 fans on the golf course and yet making the pros go through incredible protocol and jump through hoops. It just does not seem right to me. And there's pros that have said, I'm not going because of those things. I just wanted to get your thoughts real quick.
Yeah, no, I agree. I know Ricky was really outspoken about that. The whole thing is sort of when you mesh it all together with what's going on in the world and what we know is happening with the Olympics, and nobody can go there, but we're going to put all these folks out here on this golf course, but we're going to make the pros be the ones that have to go through all the hoops. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, we're all worried about people's safety and that sort of thing. What it says to me, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but boy, what it says to me is, boy, you know, the players, you got to be safe, you know, for each other. But you know what? All you folks that want to come out here to watch this golf tournament, no problem. You come out there and spread this around to each other. We're concerned about the pros. Not so much you.
Right. Correct. It makes no sense to me. None.
Yeah.
And I hate that because the Open is my favorite of the four major. What's your favorite major?
I'm all about the Masters. You know, I mean, that place is, you know, I've told my wife when I die, you gotta cremate me and spread my ashes over Augusta National. So that's my favorite place on the planet.
That's a great idea, except they won't let her in. So, you know, I don't know if you know that, but she has to be a patron and they're pretty exclusive over there. So I'm just saying.
Either that or our friend John Patrick. I'll have to have her meet John Patrick and take it out there.
Maybe John can do it. You're right. All right. We only got a couple minutes left. But here's something else that I wanted to give me a couple of courses that are on your bucket list to play.
Well, you know, if we're saying that Augusta National is off the list, the ones that I could actually play.
Yes.
Pebble Beach, for sure. I know that's a place you've played many times. I'm jealous as heck because I'd love to get out there. Old Head. I've had the privilege of having Brent Dornford from Old Head, their marketing manager, on the show several times. And that's a place that I'm dying to get out to. Obviously, a lot of the ones that are on the Open Rotunda, you know, are the ones that I want to get to, you know, St. Andrews, places over there, other places like Cali Bunyan, and those places are ones that I'm dying to get an opportunity to go play. I got really lucky, and one of our sponsors on the show is a place called the Macklemore, and I just got to go play up there for the first time, and that place is absolutely spectacular. I can't say enough good things about that place. I highly encourage folks to take a look at it, themacklemore.com, because that place is to die for.
Yeah, and I just want to say to you, you know, you talk about being jealous about places I played. Well, it was great seeing all the pictures and all the stuff from Macklemore, you know, when none of us have been there before. So thanks very much for that.
Talk glad about to do it.
Jealous. Yeah. I know you are. I know. All right. Let's see. One more just off the top of my head. I can't think of anything. I've run out of ideas because I don't do any research. Okay.
You can ask me about the Olympics.
Yeah, the Olympics. Great. What about the Olympics? What about the Olympics? I was going to, but you mentioned it. There's nothing to talk about. I mean, if those guys think an Olympic medal means something to them, great. Go over there and have fun playing on a golf course with no spectators.
Yeah.
And when we see all of you play against each other all the time, every week. Go ahead. Have fun at the Olympics. Anything you'd like to add?
I don't know if I can top that.
Well,
I was excited for it until just recently when now those poor guys are going to go out there and play in front of nobody.
Yeah,
and the girls and everybody else. I mean, I hate it for all the Olympic athletes that they're going to go out there. And it's like we held an Olympics and nobody came.
Right. So
I feel really badly for them that they, you know, postponed it for a year. They had to wait an extra year. And now, you know, not only are they going to a COVID hotspot where they might all catch it. They're also get to win medals and all of that sort of thing. And hear the one person clapping that's out there, maybe a coach or something. I hate that for all of them.
And I
know just to spite you, Matthew, Biceps is going to win the gold medal. I just
And you know what? I could care less. Good luck to him. Really, really. All right. How do people listen to Next on the Tee?
We're on just about every major podcast site. So if you've got one that you really enjoy, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, what have you, we're on just about every single one of them. Just type in Next on the Tee in the search bar up there, and you'll probably find us on it.
There you go.
And the website is nextonthetee.net. You'll be able to keep up to date with what our guest schedule looks like, who we've got coming on. And then we also link back to a couple of those sites so you can tune it in and stream it from there.
Right. And if they do that, you'll be able to see guests, as I said, for the next year lined up for the show, which is always fantastic. All right. You're the greatest. You know how I feel about you. Thanks for doing this with me. And I'll talk to you real soon.
I look forward to it. I'm honored. Thank you, Matthew.
Okay. Thanks, pal.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Men O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back, golf peeps and other peeps. It's Backspin Golf, of course. And as we do most every week, I would say 99% of our shows, our pal Matt McCrady from Man of War Golf joining me now. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Matthew. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. You know, it just hit me. I still think it's kind of weird that we have two Matthews. Have you ever been called Matthew, or has it always been Matt?
It's pretty much always been Matt. My mom, my dad, and my sister are pretty much the only people who would call me Matthew.
I got to tell you, because I always think of names in terms of either movie names for actors or sports names. What sounds better, what doesn't? The McCrady part of your name sounds much better with Matt.
Yes.
Matt McCrady it flows. It's got a strength to it. Matthew McCrady sounds more intellectual, which we know you're not. So
that is true. That is
okay.
True.
All right. I'm just throwing that out there. Here's where I want to start with you this week. And we know this is a big week coming up because it's the Open Championship, and we'll get to that. We'll talk about that. But you are doing something over at the best practice facility anywhere, Man of War Golf. And I want you to tell our listeners about this. It's really fascinating to me. And it has to do with the lie angles of clubs. Is that right?
That is correct. I've got a couple of friends that they play mini tour golf. They're, you know, they're like everybody else out there. They're grinding. They're trying to make it. They're doing what they can, you know, staying here, staying there, eating, you know, you hear the stories of eating light dinners and lunches just to make it. And they're stopping by. I've got two stopping by today to check lie angles on their clubs. Just a little bit of a checkup, make sure they're, you know, the lie angle, making sure, you know, both of these players they have flatter lie angles. So we want to make sure that the club is not getting too upright. If the club tends to get more upright for these players in particular, the ball will start to go a little bit left, and these players don't want to see the ball go left. And that's honestly probably true for, I would say, 50% of players on the PGA Tour don't want to see the ball go left. Everybody kind of wants to see it fall a little right with an iron, or just be a little straight, or maybe just have a 2-yard draw on it. So it's very important, you know, especially for these guys, that they get their lie angles checked, you know, probably every 2 or 3, 4 weeks, because they are playing so much. They have so much turf interaction. Their clubs can move.
Okay,
clubs move.
this is why it's so interesting to me, that it seems like golf clubs are pretty sturdy instruments, you would think. But what I'm hearing is that if you play enough and they hit enough golf balls with their irons, that lie angle can shift.
It can.
That's forged amazing clubs, to me.
Yeah. So forged clubs, the way forged clubs are made, like people like Srixon, Mizuno, they use that Japanese brand metal. It's very soft, very soft metal. So it will move as you're, you know, you'll make contact and it will move over time. And, you know, myself, I check mine probably once every 3 or 4 months just to see, just to make sure. But, you know, those guys on tour, I guarantee you they're getting theirs checked, if not weekly, every other week.
That is, it's amazing to me. And I never knew that. And this, you know, every time I talk to you, you bring something up and it makes me think about my incredible golf game. And maybe some of the wayward shots I've been hitting lately are because the lie angle on my irons have changed. I never even thought of that. And it would explain a lot of my missed shots.
It would. So the ball falls for you, if it falls a little bit too far right, if it just, you can't get it to stay straight or turn over, that lie angle may be a little bit too flat for you.
Huh. Okay. Well, obviously we need to do something about that. Can we do it before? Of course we can. Before Wednesday, when I'm playing the Barbasol Pro-Am.
Absolutely, we can do that. We got to make sure you're dialed for that.
Oh, okay, good. Well, we're going to need to make a lot more changes than just my lie angle. But it's going to be fun anyway. And, of course, the Barbasol Pro-Am and the Barbasol Championship, as we've been talking about a lot here this week. I'm not sure who. I'll find out Tuesday night who I'm playing with, the two players that I'm playing with in the Pro-Am. You play 9 holes with each pro. And I'm going to ask them that as we're walking down the fairway. How often do you get the lie angles checked on your irons? Because I think it's really interesting. Do you have to do that, say, with, I imagine you don't. You don't have to do it with a driver or maybe 3 woods, because you don't hit them that much and a driver is teed up.
You're correct. I mean, so a tour van, the vans that you'll see at the Barbasol, they'll have the ability to adjust those a little bit, but they are pretty static on a wood.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that explains why I hit all my hybrids and woods and my driver so straight.
So perfectly.
I would guess. Anyway. All right. That's very cool. Just one of the many things that you and your gang over there at Man of War Golf do. And we always talk about one of the top 100 club fitters in America and how important it is and fun to get your club fit for you. So, and nobody does a better job of that than you guys. All right. Let's talk. We mentioned the Open Championship. Let's talk a little bit about that. And your feelings, which I talked to the other guests on my show, on the show this week about, your feelings about the RNA and the protocols that they've put in place for these tour players that are coming over to play in the Open Championship or not coming because of this, while allowing 32,000 fans on the golf course. It almost sounds like it's Rob Manfred and baseball running this operation now, because it just seems absurd to me.
It's very backwards, right? I mean, so we're going to allow 32,000 fans, but we're going to have, they're going to be able to, you know, congregate together and drink beer and yell
for three. Elbows,
these players, the entertainment that everybody wants to see, the actual major championship, they're held to, I think, too high of a standard, you know, and it's honestly mind-boggling the way they handled it. And it's unfortunate that the way they've handled it, and you've seen so many players say, I'm not going to go just because of that. And it's unfortunate that some of these players can't go and they can't compete in this because of these crazy restrictions that they've put on.
Right. It's not like COVID is still running rampant and or they're not allowing fans. They're going to hold the fans to an even stricter standard than they're holding the pros to. It's the complete opposite of that.
Yeah. I mean, who knows how many of these fans, I don't know what their protocol is. I haven't seen too much on, like, if the fan has to be vaccinated or not. And if they're not, do they have to wear a mask? And if they're not, and if they have to wear a mask, how many people are going to walk around to each individual of those 32,000 and be like, are you vaccinated? Wear your mask. Right. So
yeah.
The other side of that, so you got so many people that can come in who are not vaccinated, could come in and just not wear a mask. So it just, we come back into the same orthodox we've been in for the past 18 months or so.
Right. In a certain way, that's absolutely correct. Do you have a favorite yet? Or will you wait as we get closer to Thursday and the opening shots? Anybody that jumps out at you at the Open? And by the way, this golf course, Royal St. George's, that they're playing the Open Championship at, is not one of my favorite golf courses. It's in the Rota. It's used. But I don't think it's that great a golf course, personally.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not per se in love with it. I mean, I think it's your typical links design. And
yeah.
But it's not... If you sold somebody Royal St. George's, it's not going to stand out in their head like St. Andrews or Muirfield or, you know, places like that, or Turnberry,
right,
or even Carnoustie. You know, Carnoustie is going to stand out in a lot of people's minds.
Yeah.
I think it's still going to provide the same typical Open Championship test. And if I had to pick a favorite, I really like Jon Rahm again to go back to back majors. Maybe.
I
can tell you one person who won't win. The ball.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Neither will the cheater. Thank you very much. Because they'll watch him pretty carefully, is my guess, because his reputation precedes him.
Absolutely.
Anyway, all right. So we got the Open. Now let's touch. We got about 3 minutes left on the Olympics. Thoughts on the Olympics. And I'll tell you mine. I've been talking about this. Especially this year with what's going on, I don't think any of our pros in this country grow up thinking about winning an Olympic medal. It's not like track and field or gymnastics or swimming here. So I personally don't think golf should be in the Olympics unless they are amateurs. I'm okay with amateurs playing in the Olympics. I don't think pros playing golf in the Olympics makes any sense to me. We get to see everybody from around the world all year competing most of the time. So that's my feeling. I understand some people wanting to go, but I really don't get it.
Yeah, that's a really good take, actually. I've never heard that.
Thank you.
I said that. Thinking about that in my head, and it's like, well, that would actually be a lot more fun to watch amateurs that we don't really know too much about from other countries, like let's say Australia and, you know, Malaysia, and we got amateur golfers. That would be a little bit more intriguing to hear their story versus, you know, watch per se Adam Scott and Jason Day versus Ernie Els and Louis Oosthuizen. And like, we already know everything about these guys.
Correct.
So, and then, like you said, these golfers nowadays did not grow up with the Olympics to look forward to. It wasn't like the biggest goal in the world, right? And golf hasn't been in the Olympics. I don't remember what it was, 19 something, maybe 19.
A long time ago.
Right. Even you weren't even born yet, right?
Thank you for that. Yes, that's true.
And so these guys and gals have not looked up to that. Is it cool? Yes, but I don't think winning an Olympic medal, whether it be gold, silver, or bronze, is going to help your chances of getting in the Hall of Fame or make you a more well-known golfer. Like when Justin Rose won it, like Justin Rose was already famous for winning the U.S. Open in 2013.
Correct.
Everybody already knew that. Like he didn't have to win a gold medal. Like Henrik Stenson, he didn't have to win the silver medal.
Right.
Like we all knew who he was. So. Yep. You know, I think you're onto something. I think if you can reach out to the Olympic committee and be like, hey, let's look at this again. And let's think about amateurs.
Well, here's the funny part. I always say I'm going to reach out to this one or that, and I'm always kidding. I happen to know the president of the U.S. Olympic Committee. So you just said something. I am going to text her and tell her exactly what they need to do with this.
Yeah.
And I'll keep you updated on this. I may even give you credit for it.
I don't think
I may. Should. No. Okay.
No.
All right. Then I won't. All right. And quickly, Man of War Golf, same great stuff going on. Go out, work on your game, get your clubs fit. Clinics still going on.
Junior stuff, junior Saturday morning, junior clinics. We still have junior camps going on. So
awesome.
It's wonderful. It's the peak time of the year to get fit and just practice and enjoy this weather.
Practice. All right. Thanks, Matt McGrady or Matthew McGrady. I can call you Matthew, I think.
Absolutely.
Okay. Talk to you next week. All right. That'll do it. I love the show every week. I'm so grateful to be able to do it. And I love this episode of Backspin Golf. Just thanks to Dave Shedlosky and my pal Chris Mascaro and my partner in golf here on Backspin, Matt McCready from Man of War Golf. And thanks to all our partners, as I say every week. I'm very grateful for them as well. Man of War Golf, of course, Edwin Watts, Georgetown Advantage Air, Commonwealth Credit Union, Clark's Pump and Shop, Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown, Kentucky CBD, Gearheads, Lexington Parks and Rec, and Jake's Cigar Bar, all of them. We couldn't do the show without all of them. So please, if you get a chance, use these people for all the needs that you have. All right. We'll be back next Sunday live from the Barbasol Championship and also the final round of the Open Championship. This is going to be something. Have a great week, everybody, a safe week, and we'll talk to you next time on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5. Stay tuned for the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. And then the Angelo Show.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.